Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you guys. I always love this service because it's a great excuse for the whole church to get together. Sometimes in the fellowship before and afterwards, like I hear people talking and they're like, I've been going to this church. Like, are you new here? I've been going here for like 5 years. And they're like, no, I've been going here for like 4 years, but they just went to different services, you know? Like there's the 9:30 people and the 11:15 people and they just never happened to meet yet. And so I like this service for that. It's we're all one church, you know? Ephesians chapter 5. So what I'm going to be talking about tonight, I just want to, or today, I'm used to teaching youth on Wednesdays, is a message that I want to clarify ahead of time is entirely stolen. Every single bit of it, every point, I kind of adjusted it a little bit. But it's because it was passed down to me by my dad. And it has been a massive thing in the midst of my life. And so I want to pass it on to you. And part of the reason for all of this, as you guys have known, I spoke with your youth, you guys who are parents in here, because the youth are honestly my number one, on Wednesday about how I feel the Lord is ending my season as a youth pastor. So if you haven't heard that yet, October 13th will be my last Wednesday as the youth pastor at Horizon. I've been going to youth group since sixth grade, which is crazy. And in the midst of youth ministry for 10 years, and the Lord's just kind of spoken to me and shifted me into a different role. I'll still be here. I'll still be a pastor on staff, and I'll talk about that a little bit. But in the midst of this, like, me and Jordan were talking about, you know, Sunday and how I should present to you guys what the Lord is kind of doing in my own heart. And then we're just talking about, like, the will of God. And I was like, man, the message that Dad always shared about finding the will of God is huge. And we're just like, all right, why don't you just take it? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through this message, and then I'm just going to kind of share with you my own heart and what the Lord is doing, because it's true. The Lord does love this church, and he loves me, which is so sweet. And this whole thing has just been that, like, if I can just testify at the beginning to the goodness of God. If you want to, you can also do this. I forgot to mention this at the beginning. I wanted you guys to have my notes. So if you want this message and the notes of it, you can steal it like I stole it. You can teach it to other people all you want, because it's a critical message. If you go to our website, horizonindy.org, and then you go /today, because I'm teaching today. I don't know. I just picked it. You can see it, and then you can like tap on it and it will pull up, and then you can kind of zoom in and try to make out my handwriting. But the message is called Finding God's Will, all right? So in Ephesians chapter 5, if you look at verse 17, we read this. We'll actually go to 15 real quick. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It is important for us as believers to know God's will and do God's will. Because who is the head of the church? It's not us. We've always been under shepherds. On Wednesday, before I talked about what the Lord's doing and shared with it, I had all the leaders come up and we talked about, and I was like, and tell them about how you got involved in youth group. And every single one of them, the Lord had been moving in their heart, right? And then they would come to me and be like, hey, I feel like I want to be involved with youth, and we'd pray about it, right? It was always the Lord. He's in charge. I was never in charge of youth group. God was always in charge of youth group. who's in charge of the church? It's not us. It's Jesus. And so it's important that we know what he's saying, what he's doing. So what is the will of God? I am going to give you 9 different things very quickly. And there's, again, that list online. If horizonindy.org/today, if you want to just tap on it, you can follow along with me and cheat if you want to read ahead. But otherwise, listen, and I'll have a lot of scripture. I'm going to have you guys flipping, okay? But I want to start with one other scripture, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to pray real quick, if that's okay. So I'm ready. Lord, bless this time. Please speak. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 9. It says this. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well-pleasing to God, right? So this encouragement, before I go through this list and I talk about the nine ways that God speaks and how you hear the will of God and talk about how this is, I've walked through this, you know, imperfectly in my own life, but in this, all of that kind of stuff and encourage you to, I want to start with this idea, right? Sometimes we fear missing the will of God to an inordinate degree, right? Where we're like, if I don't hear from God and follow his will perfectly, I'm going to screw up my entire life, right? And you kind of like, there's the will of God, and then there's like the perfect will of God. And we're like, if I don't get everything perfect, like God doesn't want to talk to me or none of that stuff. Our aim at the end of everything else is very simple. We desire to be well-pleasing to the Lord, right? And if that is the central goal of your life, if you want to follow Jesus, you'll be in the midst of his will. Because the very first thing, one, finding God's will. What do? Above all, first, you walk in a love relationship with God. Go to Psalms 32. I'm going to kind of move fast and talk. So Psalm chapter 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. The word says this, God speaking, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I remember coming out of high school and trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. I had no idea what I wanted to do at all. And I kept praying about what college I should go to. And over the course of like a summer, the Lord kind of showed me this verse through somebody. And it was, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And it just jumped off the page at me. This is for you, right? And I'm like, God, that is awesome. That is not a college. I would love a little bit more than that, if it's okay. But that was what I got for a long time. I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way you should go. Except there's a second part to this verse, right? Look at it. I will guide you with my eye. And I remember kind of like looking at this verse and being, what is the point of that second part? I will guide you with my eye. And I talked to my mom about it. If you've ever talked to my mom about scripture, like she kind of lights up. I love it. And she's like, well, it's because the idea is that you're looking at the eyes of Jesus, right? And imagine this, like if you are looking at me, at my face, you can tell where I'm focused, right? It is more important for us to seek to know God's face, to know God, than it is for us to seek his will, right? If you seek his will above all, you'll miss him. But if you seek his face above all, you'll get both, right? I will guide you with my eye. Look unto Jesus, right? And you will, like he will guide you. And so the simple principle, how do you know God's will? Well, you start by walking in a love relationship with the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, it talks about the disciples and the Pharisees are marveling because they knew that they were uneducated and untrained fishermen. But then they realized they had been with Jesus, right? Walk in a love relationship with God. The idea is that we start with surrender. God can't guide you if you won't follow him, right? Like if you're not in a place where you're going to obey the Lord, like he's not going to tell you where to go. There's no sense. Walk in a love relationship with the Lord. That ties into the second one. How do you know the will of God? Well, very critically, the word of God. If you've been coming to church here for very long, that point shocks you probably, because we never talk about the word of God here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I'll just read this one for you if you want. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. A part of being equipped for a good work is knowing like what it is. So how do you know the will of God? Well, the word of God, right? God will never disagree with himself. There's a couple points to this, right? The first of which is that God will never disagree with himself. And so sometimes people are like, I really feel like God is telling me to do this, but it's like clearly non-scriptural, right? I just feel like this girl, like I know she doesn't care about God at all, but like, what if I'm just going to date her, I'll marry her and then like evangelize her. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I just feel like that's the word. It's like, you feel like that, but the word says, don't be unequally yoked, right? So, sorry, you're wrong. God doesn't disagree with himself. And that is a filter for the rest of it, right? It always goes back. But also, as you walk in a relationship with the Lord, you guys know this, sometimes the Lord will speak to you in the midst of his word. In the middle of just my year and a half process here before I'm standing before you today about youth, kind of it all happened really fast towards the very end. Basically, for a year and a half, and I'll talk about this, it starts at the end of it, end of this list. This has just been like a thing in my heart, like a wondering, like, I think the Lord is shifting my heart. And for like a year and a half, this has just been kind of in the back, but I'm just serving faithfully and waiting and praying, like, okay, what are you doing? And in this whole process, then in like 4 months ago, you know, I started to talk with Jordan, and I'll talk about the details of this. I gotta go faster than this, shoot. But here in the last week or a few weeks, probably a month, the Lord's just started speaking over and over. And a really sweet thing that happened was where somebody came to me and they were like, hey, I feel like the Lord told me this for you. I don't know what it means, but Hebrews chapter 8, right? And so I'm like, that's really cool because I read it this morning. Have no idea what it says. Don't remember anything. I have no idea. I'm a really good Bible reader. So I went back and was like reading through it. And I was like, I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to see in the middle of this. And it was sweet because the Lord's been speaking to Julia, my fiance, at the same time. And she's like, it's this verse right here, look. And then I had been skipping over it. And then it was really sweet. But the Lord will speak through his word as we're in it, right? And in the midst of it. Third, the Lord speaks to us through prayer. In Luke chapter 22, go ahead, if you would, go to Luke 11. It's a simple one. I probably don't even need to have you go there because you all have this memorized, but the Lord's Prayer. In Luke 22, verse 42, Jesus exemplifies prayer because he's in the garden and he says, Father, your will be done, right? And if you look in the Lord's Prayer, teach us to pray, chapter 11, right there in the very beginning, Jesus gives them all the pieces to prayer, one of them regarding the will of God. He said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So prayer is an important part of knowing the will of God. Pray, ask the Lord to speak to you. And Jesus did this in the garden. I found this to be such a great safety net, right? Where you can pray, if like the God of the universe can make everything by talking, there's so much safety for us in the simple prayer of, God, I ask that you would do your will. If I'm messing this up or I'm going in a different direction, like fix it. I want your will to be done in my life. And he will honor and answer that prayer. Colossians chapter 3. You can go there. I'm going to move a little bit faster just for the sake of time a little bit. So you can move there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. The Lord speaks as we're in a relationship with him. Second, through his word, through prayer. And fourth, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Sometimes God speaks to us through peace. Or, more strongly sometimes, through what I call unpeace. Anybody relate to that one? Or lack of peace, right? This is where we start to get through, as we go through this, into ones that are just, again, you have to filter all of this through the word of God. And a central point, my very last one, wait and watch in faith, is this principle that a lot of times we take time and we put things to God in prayer and we over time see what God does, right? Given enough time. But peace is the way that the Lord speaks to us. And if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you probably, I don't have to explain this one a ton, but if you're walking with the Lord and it's kind of new in the midst of your walk, or you just haven't had a lot of these decisions that the Lord's been putting, it's not so much like an emotion. It's like, how do you describe it? It's like you have peace about something. Is that a good description? Or you have no peace at all, an unpeace about something, right? Just like as you walk in a relationship with the Lord and as you consider this thing and you think about it, like it just feels wrong or it feels right, often in opposition to what other facts are, right? Like it seems to line up, but it just, there's something about it, right? And that can be a marker. Hey, wait, pray, keep putting it before the Lord. The peace that rules your heart. Fifth, go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. No, I wrote that down wrong. Oh, no. I don't know where it is. Somewhere in the book of Proverbs, there is a proverb. Kids come up to me and they're like, hey, do you know where this verse is? I don't know addresses. I didn't go to Awana, you know, I didn't learn that wasn't there when I was a kid. I didn't learn how to memorize the numbers. I remember like where stuff is, but and what the verses say, but I'm not so good at the numbers. It says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, right? Fifth, and this is very important. There's a very important adjective at the beginning of this. God speaks to us in part through wise counsel, right? Now, why is the word wise so important? Because you can always find somebody to tell you what you want to hear, right? Anybody found that? It's a lovely thing, especially in our day and age, as far as like you can just go online and find somebody who agrees with you. It's easy. So you can get people to affirm you. What is wise counsel? It is people who fear God and don't fear you, right? People who fear God and do not fear you. It is important, and I think wise often, to take the decisions and what's going on in the midst of your life and set it before other people in confidence and say, hey, this is what I feel like the Lord is doing. How do you see this? And the Lord will often speak in the midst of that, sometimes confirming, sometimes in checking. And all of this often, especially with big things, is a whole process, right, of trying to be wise before the Lord. But counsel, wise counsel. Sixth is our favorite one. Would you go to Jeremiah chapter 32? Thank you so much, Melanie Potter. Wherever you are, I appreciate it. I forgot the one before the four is what happened. So it's 11:14 on wise counsel. But Jeremiah 32. Look at verse 6. Jeremiah 32. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me. Behold, this dude will come to you saying, buy my field, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Then that dude came to him and said, please buy my field. Then, look at the end of verse 8. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. It implies that when Jeremiah first heard God come to him and say, I want you to buy this random guy's field, that he wasn't sure that it was what the Lord was doing, right? He's like, is that the Lord? Like, I'm supposed to buy a field? What is that? Why would I buy a field? And then this guy comes to him and says, hey, will you buy this field? And he knows, oh, that was the Lord earlier telling me to buy this field. And there's a whole purpose to it, right? He wanted him to buy the field because it was a sign that God was going to return them to that land, even though it was about to be they were about to be taken out of it. But our favorite one, how God speaks, he can indeed speak through circumstances and timing. Circumstances and timing. Or in other words, it's a sign. I always like when you're driving, there's those billboards, right? That are like, here's your sign, Jesus or something. Like sometimes they have those weird URLs. It's like talktojesus.com or something. And you're like, I don't know about that part, but the sign part's funny. There are a million examples of this in scripture. You have Jonathan and his armor bearer. Like, hey, go up there. And if he says this, like, go ask that guy And if he says these words, then we know we're supposed to attack. Or Gideon, and he kind of puts his fleece out, right, a few times. He's asking for a specific circumstance, and the Lord blesses it. And then there's timing, right, where God speaks to Peter at the tanner's house when the thing comes down, and he has this whole vision. And then he's like, was that God? Like, and then the dude shows up at that exact moment at his house on that exact decision that he had to make, right? Timing and circumstances, it's a sign. Sometimes God will speak to you because certain things tend to line up or time out at the exact same time and in the same way. And it looks like there's a God who is orchestrating, and you start to see the pieces, right? Because they start to fall together and you're like, oh, I see that God is doing this because the circumstances are lining up and the timing is lining up. This is one that we love, and we love to take it by itself. Of course, you have to filter it. But if you've ever been a church kid who's shy, this is going to get very specific. You ever been a church kid who's kind of girl shy, and you're in like second grade and you're like, that girl's kind of cute. And then like you like cough or something, and she turns around and like looks at you because you coughed, and you're like, it's a sign. She looked at me. Yeah, then you know how tempting it is to like look for signs from everywhere from God. He does do this. But again, it's filtered through all the rest. The next one, 7, I call divine revelation. There's a million examples. I didn't even make one. But this is like where God is like, hey, the burning bush, an angel appears to Mary, the dreams of Joseph, hey, take Mary to be your wife, literally the entire book of Revelation, right? Where God speaks very obviously, like he reveals. Sometimes it's in dreams. Almost always you'd know if you're like, is this dream from God? Like sometimes, but most of the time in scripture, we see that if somebody had a dream from God, they were never like, was that God or pizza? Bad pizza last night that made me dream weird. They know. God can do that. If God speaks to you that way, that's pretty awesome. Doesn't speak to me that way very much, but he can. And then 8. If you would, go to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. And look at verse 4. Well, actually, let's look at verse 3 because it kind of bolsters the walk in a relationship with the Lord part. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. What do you do if you don't know what else to do? Just be faithful to the Lord where he has you. What's the last thing he told you to do? Do that. But verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, we understand that there's an eternal context to this, right? God obviously doesn't give us everything that we want. Otherwise, I would have a Tesla. You too? Yeah, dude. So cool. But sometimes what happens here is that it's actually more in the sense that God gives your heart desires, right? He will give you the desires of your heart. He gives you desires in your heart. And then he fulfills those desires. And so what you want is not necessarily something that you should pay no attention to. Obviously, you should filter it through the word of God because the heart is deceitfully wicked, right? But sometimes the desire of your heart or what you're drawn to or what you push into and what gives you joy can be the Lord pushing you in a direction, right? I'll talk about that. I'll come back to that in a second. But go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And if I lost you at any point, again, it's online. I'm so sorry if my handwriting's bad. Feel free to come ask me if you can't read one of the words. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 10. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Right? And your gifts often line up, not always, but they often line up with the desires of your heart, right? Like a thing that you want and you enjoy, like you push into it. And hey, if you have those gifts, use them in ministering to one another as good stewards of that grace of God, the many different kinds of grace of God. The desire of your heart can be a part of how God speaks to you. And then finally, number 9, wait and watch in faith is that concept that Dad always said, roll it over to the Lord, right? You take time and you keep. And so that's my encouragement for you. If you're in a place where you're just seeking out or just file these things away and the Lord will bring them back to your mind when he wants to speak to you. He's smarter than you. He can figure out how to talk to you. Just be open. But these are the ways that he works. But also take a leap of faith. Sometimes at the very end, you're like, okay, I feel like the Lord is speaking. All this stuff is lining up. I don't know all the details, but it seems like it's moving. And it seems like it's now. Here goes. Lord, catch me. And so I just wanted to share that, and hopefully that's an encouragement to you guys. For me personally, in the midst of youth group is my favorite thing in the world. I love it. I really do. I love everything about it. But I feel that the Lord has shifted my heart to something else. And so if I can, just by example, and I know that this, I don't know, I felt kind of weird about this in some sense because it maybe seems a little arrogant of like, I hear from God, and you know, but this has been like a long process and all that stuff. So just as I've learned, I pass on. And about a year and a half ago, I just felt that the Lord was shifting the desires of my heart. If you don't know what I do at Horizon, I do two things. Like I have two jobs basically, which is so much fun. And I've loved every second of it, of which half is youth ministry. And really that's the main part and the part that gets all the priority. The second part is, less of being the person whose hands are lifted and more of the lifting of the hands. And particularly in communicating other people's vision, right? Like I like to communicate. And so I would do a lot of stuff with that as far as, you know, graphic design and copy and websites and photography and videography and sound and anything like all that different, anything I could do to kind of, and the Lord, about a year and a half ago, I just started to sense that my heart was shifting over towards that. And I prayed it out because I was like, I'm a youth pastor and that's what you told me to follow you. That's what I'm doing. And I need to have this heart for the youth. And so I just prayed it away. I was like, Lord, take that out and just give me that heart and vision and drive for youth that I should have and keep doing it. And it kept coming back and I would pray it out and he'd bring it back and pray it out and bring it back. And this has just been the process. Was that thunder? Oh, it was an airplane. Cool. I'm almost done. And then just to make a long story short, this just kept spinning in my own heart. And it was funny because I would just talk about it with my family and specifically like a few people like my sister and other people who know me really well. And they were like, honestly, like I could see the Lord, you know, wise counsel. I could see this in your own life. Like I see the Lord is doing this. And I validate it. I'm like, but I want to do youth. Like that's what I want to do. But I just see the Lord shifting my own heart to the other thing. And then in the last probably few months, the Lord has started to speak to me in other ways in a big way. You know, walking a love relationship with the Lord, I'm just praying, like, is there sin in my life? Not really. Not that I'm perfect or anything else, but there's not like a life-dominating sin. I'm just asking these questions of the Lord, like, what's going on? And being in the Word and in prayer. And then some really cool stuff has started to happen. So if I can just take a second and share, since I know this is a big deal, and then I'll be done. But Jordan came to me and was like, hey, you know, you're kind of doing two jobs. I would love it if you just did one job. Which one do you want? And kind of as a joke. And I'm like, actually, I'm not sure. And he's like, oh, wait, what? And so we just started praying about it. Like, okay, what's the Lord doing? And so I can honestly, what I'm going to be shifting into and what the Lord has is I'm going to shift into that of where I'm going to lift people's hands in several different ways. It's kind of hard to explain, honestly. I just spent 3 minutes boring somebody earlier because they asked me that question, unfortunately. I was trying to explain it, but vision, communication. We have like 8 ministries. Actually, we have like 25. Actually, we have like 60. It just depends how you count. And like communication and helping everybody else understand their vision and advertising, all this kind of stuff. Like I just have this heart for helping people communicate. And I've been doing it for a long time, especially over COVID with video and all this kind of, there's just a whole massive gap there, like a huge gap, and I see it. The other side is, like Jordan and I, we'd like to make some stuff, and we've got a ton of pastors on staff that have a lot to offer, and so I want to figure out how to help edify the body here, and then also at large, especially with like counseling and children's ministry and just everything, like there's so much. And then the other one is, I'm explaining this very bad, I'm sorry. The other one is, there is this other thing that I see all the time, which is that in the midst of like service production, I'm going to be behind the scenes on that. So obviously we have our teams that do sound and worship and they're amazing, but there are other things, like a ton of other stuff that happens behind the scenes as far as technical stuff that I won't bore you with. And it really needs a full-time person, like bad. And I've always been interested in that. I have a heart for it. And so I'm excited to lift other people's hands and help all that stuff happen. So maybe a bad explanation a little bit. But I want to finish with this. I don't see that as important as youth. Which is maybe a really weird sentence to end that with, right? Like, if I'm looking at these two things and I'm like, which one's more important, like youth ministry or like making sure like all the stuff is going right, I can't look at youth and be like, that's more, less, it's not. Like, that's not what this decision is at all. And so in my own heart, I have been really reluctant to follow the Lord on this because I don't want youth to have like suffer at all. And so one of the sweet things that the Lord has done is that he has more than provided. And so if you're a parent or you're a person who prays or you are thinking about this at all, I'm really excited to tell you kind of what's going to happen with youth, because at the very beginning of all of this, I had like when this first started shifting in my heart, I had like one thing. I was like, what would I want to happen if the Lord was going to shift me out? And again, God can do whatever he wants, but it's been really cool because the Lord's blessed it. For junior high, Caleb Garcia, do you guys know him? He's coming back from Texas later this afternoon, and he will be joining Horizons staff full-time on junior high and a few other things, which is exciting. Really excited about it. I would love to have him here as we announce this, but he couldn't make it until this afternoon, and we just want to make sure we communicate with the church that there's not a gap being left, right? And then the second thing is that there's been one person in my heart that I know really well. And I've been like, if I could have one person, who would I feel like not only good about, but like is honestly an upgrade to youth. And I could not be more excited about who the Lord has very clearly brought in. And the youth pastor for Horizon is going to be a man named Wilson Young. Oh, Wilson, get on up here, please. Oh. If I can, really quick, while he's making himself, he can't stop me. I love this dude. I trust this dude with my life. He is a man of God. He mows his lawn. He's a man of discipline. He's a man of the Lord. He's a man of the word. He knows sports things. I absolutely treasure this dude, and I could not be more excited to hand over youth. And so I asked him if he would really quick just to share about how the Lord's spoken to him. And then I'll pray for the food and we'll go. Sorry, I took a little too long.
Yeah.
What's up? Is this working? All right. So obviously my name's Wilson. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here. But my wife, Whitney, is far back in the back. I would love for her to be up here with me, but she's taking care of a young one. So, who am I? Who are we that God chooses to use us? And in such a sweet way, the Lord has just radically changed our lives in the last few months in the way that he's spoken to me and Whitney. And it's been such a treasure being married to kind of have this joint testimony and watching the Lord speak to her and the sweetness of it and how it's such a treasure to my heart to watch him minister to her heart, watching other people minister to her, this body reach around and pray for her. It's been such an honor in so many ways to have you guys as family throughout the last over decade now. And one thing I do want to say, because I would love to share the whole testimony with each and every one of you, but it's like an hour long thing and I don't want to do that. Being from Arkansas, I've got Southern Baptist in me a little bit, and I know I'll go too long if I start. So I'm going to stop there. But the first day I came here to Bible college, it was a big shift. It was a big step of faith in the Lord that I had no family, no friends, no nothing. But the Lord had called me to be faithful to go to Bible college. And one guy noticed. One guy noticed how hard it was to say goodbye to family and said, hey, why don't you come to my house, hang out with my parents, and let's eat some food, hang out, and that was Brett. Since then, he has been faithful to, no matter how busy or wrapped up in myself I get, to stop me and to say, hey, Jesus loves you. And so to know that for the past decade, your children, the youth, have been hearing just that message, whether it's put simply, whether it's by his actions and how he serves them. It's been an honor watching him grow as a man. I'm so excited for the season of life that the Lord is going to take him through. But he has been faithful, more than faithful. And I've been nothing but blessed by him. And so I would love to meet, obviously, each and every one of you that I haven't so far, to share the goodness of the Lord in it. But, you know, I don't want to do all that right here. I'll go too long. So thank you.
Come over here, guys.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, so, you know, we've had the Brandon Grayson as a youth pastor here, right? Like, wow. We had some guy in between there, some bum. Then we had Brett. We got Wilson, like Caleb. You know, like God has blessed this church with amazing men and wives, ladies, to like serve your guys' youth. Like, it's incredible. We've got something that we're excited that God's doing. And I sent Caleb a text that you guys clapped for him. He'll be so blessed that there are people excited to have him back. He loves this place. This is a place that he considers to be his home, a family, right? You guys, all of you. And so the team that God is bringing is, man, it's so sweet how God moves and works and how God speaks to these guys. Like, really, Brett got to share his testimony of how God had moved him and spoke to him. Wilson's testimony is incredible, and a lot of it involves Bill and Vi being little stinkers and like saying things like, I cannot believe you guys said those things, but it's awesome. I'm so glad that they did, because it stirred things up, right? God's still using them in such a powerful way to stir things up and to get things moving. And it's like, I love it when we want to be stirred up, don't we? We want to be moved by the Lord to go do things that are different and exciting and, like, you know, stepping out in faith to go do stuff. I mean, Wilson's leaving a really, 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 really good job. And they had plans, man, and God halted all of it. And he's coming here. And so it's exciting. When God puts your hand on a person, man, it's fun. It's exciting to see. And so we've got some other things happening, but just because I wanted to introduce them, because, you know, Brett moving on creates a vacancy. That will be filled up, okay? And your kids are going to be taken care of, and so we're excited for that. I know some of you don't even know Wilson and Whitney. They've been fellowshipping somewhere else, but they were part of our church for a long time. Like, when Wilson was here at Bible College, he interned with me when I was doing youth ministry. And then we went off to St. Kitts, you know, and so they've been here. They're very dear friends of ours. And, you know, we have a pretty vested interest in the youth group, as I'll have, you know, I've got 3 kids in it right now and 5 here in a second. So we care quite a bit. Anyway, they're in good hands. I wanted to pray for these guys, and then we'll offer some instructions, and it's about time to eat, okay? So come up here. Let's just pray. This cute little photo op here. Let's pray for these guys. Lord, we thank you for what you have done and in and through Brett and the ministry he has had, and in so many ways, single-handedly. I don't know how in the world he's done it without a wife, but you've done it, Lord, and it's been awesome to see 10 years of faithful service, the longest of any youth pastor, Lord. You've used him to impact the lives of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people at the youth group and here at the school. We thank you for his giftings and how he can communicate so well, and ask that you would use those giftings for your glory as he transitions to a new spot here within the church. And so bless him, Lord. We ask that your beauty would be upon us and that you would establish the work of his hands on his behalf, God. Please, we pray and ask that even as they transition out of this and come October, that this would be healthy and good for these youth, and that there'd be exciting and fun days ahead. We thank you for Wilson and Whitney and their hearts to halt all that was going on and their direction and their thing and listen to you, to take the time to stop and consider that maybe you're doing something that's different than where their hearts were at the time, and to listen to you, to pray and to fast and to seek wise counsel, to be in your word, to have a love relationship with you. Circumstances, like all the things came together, Lord, that you've spoken and you've brought them here. And all for all that, Lord, we give you praise. You are worthy. You are a good God who loves this church. You are the one who establishes the work of our hands because you are a beautiful and awesome God. We love you. We thank you, Lord. We rejoice for what's ahead. Thank you for the heritage and the foundation we have. But we ask that you'd continue to move in mighty ways for your glory, Jesus, here in this community and beyond. You're worthy of it all, Lord. We love you. Thank you for this time. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. Love you guys. Yeah.